Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Tesla has purchased $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin and plans to accept Bitcoin for its products.
And this is Bitcoin Legacy.
This says BTC specifically. This is from bitcoin.com. And it says plans to accept BTC for products. I would have to imagine at some point he will expand that, but I don't know.
I would think.
I would guess for something like a Tesla vehicle that, you know, the amount you're going to pay for one of those makes things like the fees sort of, you know, okay, that's reasonable if you're going to spend, you know, $40,000 on up on a vehicle. You know, the network fee, the transaction fees, you know, as high as they get sometimes when Bitcoin's flying at, what is it today, $40,000, $38,000, I think.
It went up to $44,000 today, setting a new record high.
Right, yeah. But it bounced. It came back down. Was that $38,000 this afternoon?
No, I think it's back up to around $43,000,
$44,000.
Nice.
Right now. Yeah, it's been, I think, $43,000 most of the day.
Which, of course, means that the transaction fees are higher. It's going to cost you more. The network is busier.
Yeah.
It could cost you more, but I would imagine buying something like a Tesla vehicle, you know, a little bit of extra fee for that type of a purchase, is it going to make much of a difference to somebody in that market? When the news broke, the price of the leading crypto asset jumped well over 15%, touching a new all-time price high at $44,899 per coin.
Wow.
That was as of, when was this published this morning? 10 hours ago.
What was that top again?
Almost 45.
Yeah, almost 45. Okay.
44,899.
Nice.
So, I mean, there's not much more to the story other than this is what happened, and of course it caused a big spike. And
didn't Snoop Dogg get behind Dogecoin as well this weekend?
We mentioned it yesterday, and we're calling him Snoop Doge.
Wow, all right.
Now, did you come up with that? Or did somebody else?
I don't know. There was three or four of us sitting here in the studio last night.
And I like it.
One of the guests had mentioned, "Hey, check it out!" And he actually had a meme of Snoop Dogg, but like his face had been replaced by the Doge dog. And so it's kind of like, "Oh, it's Snoop Doge."
Okay, so somebody else came up with it.
Well, I mean, I said it, but I assume the guy who created the meme was like, "Dude, I'm gonna make Snoop Doge."
Yeah, that's cool. I saw somebody lamenting that fact somewhere on the internet, and I'm like, isn't this what we want to happen? Don't those of us who support cryptocurrency want, like, you know, celebrity types to come on board and start promoting these things?
There have been a couple of people online saying things like, oh, man, I don't know. I think it's time to get out of BTC because, you know, we're getting, you know, celebrities endorsing it now.
All right. So according to CoinGecko.com, right now, Bitcoin at a new record high, by the way, 46,800 and change.
Yeehaw.
I mean, I presume it might have been higher than that earlier. I don't know. But that's,
go gadget Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Still the highest you've seen it.
It's up 20% in the last 24 hours, up 20%. Just the last 24 hours. The market cap of Bitcoin right now is $872 billion.
Now, we've talked about
and change.
We've talked about how that compares to like some of the larger businesses on planet Earth.
Yeah.
I wonder where that puts the rank now, because, you know, at one point it was bigger than Facebook or something like that, and that type of a thing.
Yeah, I will pull that list up as well.
Groovy.
And we'll find out.
So, you know, we've basically covered the news portion of that announcement, and that's just that, you know, Tesla has decided to jump into the pool with $1.5 billion.
It actually pushes Bitcoin up above Tesla. So Tesla was at number 5 on the list of the 50 largest American companies by market cap. Prior to that, it was above Facebook. Facebook had $763 billion market cap, Tesla an $807 billion market cap. Next to dethrone is Alphabet Incorporated. That's the company that owns Google.
The whole advent of Bitcoin mirrors the advent of the search engines, the old search engine wars in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. And so I feel like we're, you know, kind of still in that time, right? One has sort of led the pack, but we don't know who the top dog is going to be still. It's still a battle.
It's too early.
It's still a race. And so if you haven't gotten into cryptocurrency, I suggest you do now because it is still early, even with all of the publicity that it's getting. It is still early times for this technology. It's only a decade or so old, and a lot of fun can still happen. So,
yeah, Bitcoin isn't done yet. Not at 46,000. I think we've got a lot more to go.
I think so too.
And I'm not a fan of Bitcoin. I mean, I agree with nobody's critiques that it is not a useful form of cryptocurrency. It is not electronic cash, which is what Satoshi Nakamoto originally intended it to be.
Right.
It has strayed from the founder's vision.
What has it become? Is it the store of value then?
I think it's a speculator stone. Or a speculator coin. The thing is, what could make it with the value of a crypto and is in its ability to process transactions.
Right.
There's Bitcoin Cash. There's BTV. There's the regular Bitcoin. There's the fork. Now the people that the one that went up to $43,000. Now which Bitcoin is that? Is that the one with the transaction things and this and that? Or what are people buying that are doing this? You know that are. Like, what did Tesla just buy?
So that would be BTC, Bitcoin, the OG Bitcoin, the original inception. It's known as BTC if you own a wallet or if you go look at sites like CoinGecko to monitor what the prices are doing. BTC are the three letters of that particular coin. Now, BCH is Bitcoin Cash. That's the three letters for that one. And then BSV is Bitcoin Satoshi Vision, which is yet another fork of Bitcoin.
Yeah, they're all fighting, those three at least, over who is the true Bitcoin, the one true Bitcoin. It's very religious. Very silly.
Now, do you guys have what the worth is of the other two or three?
There's a cool website I'd recommend you check out. It's called
The Worth.
Yeah, so I would recommend you check out CoinGecko.com or CoinMarketCap.com. They're two websites that do essentially the same thing. They have a list of the top thousands, I think 8,000 or so cryptocurrencies. Oh, 6,000 on CoinGecko right now. I think CoinMarketCap's got like 8,000 of them. Basically, Bitcoin is freedom of speech. It is something that someone created through writing things down, i.e. coding, and released to the world, and people are essentially saying they value these little, you know, bits and bytes that are being transferred over the internet in a secure manner. So I think they would have a really tough time outlawing it entirely. You're likely to just see them keep piling on regulations onto centralized exchanges, which is the easiest way for them to have what they feel like is some level of control over this uncontrollable cryptocurrency situation. But what do you think, Nobody? What's worst case?
Yeah, I mean, that does seem pretty accurate as to the worst case is, you know, they could outlaw it completely, in which case, I mean, that would really be showing their weakness if they did that, though, because the bottom line is the only reason for outlawing it would be people don't want their dollars anymore and people don't want their money losing currency. And countries have tried that. Venezuela's tried that. It hasn't really done them any good. That's probably the worst that they could do. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'll keep trading around them because I don't care what they say.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to mention is that it truly is a peer-to-peer currency. I read this article from healthline.com and I found it very disturbing. And
so you wanted to disturb us.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to bring it in and disturb not only you guys, but our listeners as well.
I've been disturbed for years.
This is disturbing in a different kind of way. I know sometimes people will find libertarians and anarchists and voluntarists disturbing, you know, in a sort of a shocking way. Some people, first-time listeners to this show, will think, these guys are shock jocks. They're just saying this to be shocking.
Like, I'm shocked. Find out there's gambling going on in here. You're winning, sir. Oh, thank you very much.
I'm shocked and flabbergasted and shocked.
All right, shock me. What do we
this
got?
This is shocking in a different way. Providers are sexually assaulting patients, and it's legal.
Oh, my.
Under any other circumstances, it would be a crime, so why is this the exception? When Ashley Weitz went to the emergency room at a local hospital in Utah in 2007 for severe nausea and vomiting, she was sedated with IV medication to help the vomiting subside. While the medication was intended to bring her relief from her symptoms, what happened while she was under sedation had nothing to do with her illness.
Hmm.
Weitz later woke up screaming when she saw a doctor performing a vaginal exam.
Huh?
She hadn't been told this exam would be done, she wasn't pregnant, and she hadn't consented to an internal examination of any kind. The very act of penetrating someone's genitals without their permission or knowledge, absent a medical emergency, is criminal. We shouldn't redefine, accept, or minimize this behavior just because it's being done by medical professionals. Actually, just the opposite. We should expect medical providers to adhere to a higher standard.
Well, I mean, if it's such a necessary procedure to learn what that feels like, shouldn't they be volunteering themselves for it? Meaning, shouldn't the other students in the medical class, or the teacher perhaps, go ahead and just volunteer their own genitals for it? I mean, if it's not a problem.
Or they could just hire people,
My first thought...
Some homeless people or whatever.
Yeah, or home full people, whatever kind.
My first thought was, you know, I've taken CPR, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have a fake person.
They have a dummy.
Yeah, Resusa Annie, right?
I don't think we're allowed to say dummy isn't that politically incorrect.
Are you calling me names on the air? First you call me Shirley, now you call me dummy. There are products that exist in the world that mimic these particular body parts.
There must be.
Oh, there are. Just ask Cantwell.
Yeah, but whether they're anatomically accurate
I'm
is
just
another
saying
question.
That there
okay,
are products
might
that,
not be
you know.
The right tool for this job.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I spent a lot of time taking people to hospitals, taking my wife to hospitals when she was dying of cancer. And if you're going to a hospital or someone you love is going to a hospital, there should be at least two people there. I mean, you and the patient, somebody else and the patient.
Right.
And I guarantee if someone goes to the hospital with me, and I go out for a Snickers bar and come back and they're doing that, there's going to be a bloody-ass doctor on the floor wishing that he hadn't done what he just did. I guarantee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there should be. This practice is absurd, to say the least.
Yeah.
And the problem, apparently, is widespread. Two-thirds of medical students in Oklahoma...
that wasn't intended as a pun, was it?
I didn't even say that.
Forget
Captain,
just go on.
No, Captain
pretend
Context,
it never happened.
Captain
pretend
Context
happened.
Entered the building, and yeah, I see where you're going.
Yeah.
With that.
Oh,
that was the sentence. The problem is
it
widespread.
Had to be said. It just shouldn't have been fair to say.
The article continues. Two-thirds of medical students in Oklahoma reported being asked to perform pelvic exams on patients who hadn't consented.
The amazing thing is people still trust the medical profession somehow, even after all of the horrible things that they do.
Well,
malpractice has killed more people than COVID easily.
And then there's people who go, we want government to be the healthcare provider. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's just multiply the horror stories by, like, tenfold.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I run across a guy who's black and he's arguing for, single-payer medical care, and I'm like, do you think that the medical care that black folks get under single payer would be as good as the law enforcement services that they get single payer law enforcement? Because that doesn't seem to be working out too well for y'all, and I would advise you not to go back to that same company for any product, because they're not doing a good job.
The article continues. Patients who do find out post-op that a pelvic exam was done without their consent report feeling violated and experience significant trauma as a result.
Wow.
Huh, go figure.
I'm shocked.
Sarah Gundel, a clinical psychologist and a clinical director of Octave in New York City, says that medical trauma can be just as significant as other types of trauma.
Does this article actually talk to anyone on the pro side of this? Because it just sort of makes the statement that this is a thing, this has happened for a long time, and it's, you know, medically common, but there's not really anybody going to bat for this, is there?
I'd like to know the names and the phone numbers of the people who support this, because I'd like to call them up and discuss it with them.
I can't say off the top of my head because I read this, you know.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I mean, it seems like, I'm not going to say it's bad for being one-sided, but it does seem to be a little one-sided. Like, what would the person who was leading this class have to say for themselves? Is all they would have is, well, we've always done it this way. I mean, what's their best claim? Oh, well, they signed this vague statement. I mean, what is their best argument here?
And if nobody's willing to go on record saying, I order this, I order all of my medical students to do this, then that's a pretty good sign that they know they're doing wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? Because I would be very surprised if anybody would publicly support this. I mean, I would guess that they couldn't find anybody to support it on the record because nobody was willing to. Who would?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't. I mean, it's clearly a violation of the non-aggression principle. It's clearly a violation of consent. There are some legislators apparently speaking out on this topic of non-consensual pelvic exams, rectal exams, and other
rectum
sorts of
hell damn near killed them.
Yeah. And it's not just legislators that are speaking out. The American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, ACOG, has denounced this practice, stating pelvic exams with anesthetized patients that are performed for teaching purposes should only be done with informed consent. Some medical schools...
And that goes for every other procedure as well, guys. Just in case you weren't aware, it's like, you shouldn't be doing anything to us that we didn't agree to pay you for. If you want to do something unnecessary, then you've got to pay us.
Yeah, I hate to be Captain Obvious here, but I mean, you would think...
You are the captain.
You would think that would go without having to be stated, but no. We're going to wait for people to be non-consensually examined for this to come to light. When speaking of her own traumatic experience, White said, when the medical community does not value a patient's bodily autonomy, it has a very negative impact on patient care. The Pentagon will send troops to mass vaccination sites here in the U.S.
Like Massachusetts?
No.
So the Biden administration health officials announced that the Department of Defense would deploy troops to 2 vaccination sites in California in the next 10 days, with other sites in other states soon to follow.
Yeah, I'd heard that they were doing 5 different federal vaccination sites. This was a story I saw last week about that.
Now,
why do they need trained killers to give vaccinations?
Thank you for asking the exact same question that I had when I read this. I'm like, what part do soldiers have in providing health care to the American public?
Well, they may not be actually giving the vaccinations. They may be, you know, providing
preventing
support.
People from getting away.
That may be a factor, but you know, they could just be carrying boxes for all we know, right?
Why can't they
coffins?
Just hire temps for that? Why has it got to be soldiers?
It's hard to find people willing to work. I mean, I'm not defending this, but
soldiers,
it's...
Soldiers, man. We don't... I mean...
the thing is, soldiers are way more expensive than temps. So if you think it's hard to get people to work, think how hard it is to get people to join the army.
Part of this group will arrive in California in the next 10 days to begin operations there around February 15th.
There's a kid walking up to the hospital. He's got something in a bundle at his belly. Shoot him. Mm. These are people, what, fresh out of Iraq?
Yeah, you good know, question. Where are they coming from? Are these the guys that got called back from Afghanistan?
My first thought is, well, okay, couldn't, if you're going to use something that resembles military, what about the National Guard, right? Aren't they supposed to be like the domestic, right, folks, right? The National Guard, they're supposed to be the ones.
Well, the militia is really the group that would be cut out for, because National Guard is still select militia. There should only be enough of those
but National Guard,
train the militia in case of wartime.
In this particular situation, if I'm thinking like a statist and acting like a statist,
well, then stop doing that. You shouldn't think like a statist, and you certainly shouldn't act like a statist.
But shouldn't they, rather than send 1,000 active military personnel, active duty military personnel, shouldn't this be like, hey, you know what, California, call up some of your National Guardsmen and help them, you know, put together these vaccination sites or something like that? Why
Maybe
does
they
it
feel
have
they
to be
battle hardened veterans for this?
And that's the scary
of course,
part.
That would
why
the
do
question,
they feel that?
Why?
Exactly. Why do they feel that they need 1,000 active duty military personnel to support state vaccination sites?
Does it say how many of these are MDs or medics? Are they like setting up a MASH unit there?
It just says that Biden made this happen and the department of FEMA is going along with it, and he's ordered the first contingent to support state vaccination sites.
Yeah, and FEMA's all up in the mix.
Yeah,
the funny thing is, I always thought When Alex Jones, and I hate to bring up Alex Jones because I've always thought that Alex Jones was crazy, and he's made me eat my words a few times. Like, you know, I thought he was crazy when he said there was a billionaire pedophile flying around on private airplanes with Bill Clinton, but then Epstein didn't kill himself, and it was like, oh my God, he was right.
Right.
Because I always thought he was crazy to talk about the ominous possibilities of FEMA and their plastic coffins.
But right.
Here they are, right in the mix, trying to, I don't know why they're mixing it up with the military. That's not the personnel they need.
Yeah, this guy, Slavitt, noted Friday that additional vaccination missions will soon follow. Quote, the rapid at-home tests will allow us all to get back to normal activities like work and school, Manning said, noting that new plants and production lines will be established in the U.S. to reduce vulnerabilities to disruptions in the supply chain.
How would that exactly allow people to get back to normal?
Taking tests all the time, and they're not getting
it's
back
one
to
of the
normal.
Most,
they're still treated like sick prisoners.
It's one of the most preposterous sentences I may have ever read here on Free Talk Live.
Every single time we see a news story about this new vaccine's going to come out or this new thing or whatever, then the next story is always, well, even though you get the vaccine, you're still going to have to socially distance. You're still going to have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
So how is it having an at-home test is going to all of a sudden change any of that?
None of this makes any logical sense to me. I don't understand what the purpose of ramping up at home. There's more to this, too. There's some other things that they're doing, and we'll get to that, in fact, right now. Lastly, he said the Biden administration focused on increasing domestic manufacturing of personal protective equipment. There's a great need for masks, shields, and gloves, and we currently aren't producing these at the rate we need to keep up with demand, Manning said. While the U.S. is working,
that's why we need to put the government in charge.
While the U.S. is working to increase N95 mask production, Manning noted that it's also planning to ramp up its production of surgical gloves for healthcare workers, as the country has for the last year been nearly 100% reliant on foreign exports.
Now, are they actually taking over the industry, or are they going to build their own government manufacturing facilities?
It's pretty vague. It says the U.S. will build plants to make raw materials, nitrile rubber, as well as the gloves themselves in the country, By the end of the year, we'll produce more than a billion nitrile gloves per month.
Wow.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's...
At the risk of sounding paranoid, I really wonder what they're really going to make in those plants.
Yeah, I really couldn't tell you. Anthony Fauci said the nation's top infectious...
They haven't even made an issue of gloves. They've been whining about masks all this time.
Right, yeah.
When did gloves become an issue?
I don't know. And before the mask mandates and all that came around, early in the COVID process, I was looking at real estate to purchase. And so since this whole thing was new, nobody really knew what to do. It created some confusion.
Nobody always knows what to do.
Yes, that's correct. But sometimes nobody doesn't know what to do.
It's true.
Yes. But at any rate, so we were wearing nitrile gloves when going and looking at real estate. Right. You know, if folks were home or whatever, because they didn't want COVID to be spread, everybody just had to wear gloves. And I figured that that would be the personal protective equipment, PPE, that would sort of go in demand. But no, it wasn't, because they just stopped talking about wearing gloves.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free. At freetalklive.com.